Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
May the force be with you. Welcome to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast. Today we are going to be doing a deep dive of Respawn Entertainment's Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, he's known as the Jar Jar Binks of the podcast. It's Josh.
I hate you, Paul, so much. Dude, we had a conversation.
You said you wanted to be a Sith.
All right.
And arguably,
yes, he is.
Darth Jar Jar.
Okay. So for everybody that's listening, we had a conversation right before recording. And Paul said, Josh, I'm not sure you're going to like how I intro you. And I said, if you intro me as anything other than a Sith, I'm going to be mad. And then the second Jar Jar, I just rolled my eyes. And well done, Paul. Well done.
We've got some fan fiction where he's a Sith. Yeah. It counts. All right. And then joining me and Josh, don't call him a Padawan or a guest host because he's now here to stay. He's been given the rank of Jedi Master or permanent host. It's Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ryan, we're very excited to have you here as a permanent third here with me and Josh. We really love having a third person on the show. Guest hosting's been a ton of fun, but we thought, why not put a ring on that finger to make it official?
That's a Mary there.
Oh, there you go. Now, Ryan, Sith or Jedi is the question.
Oh, Sith.
All right, good.
So yeah. The Empire did nothing wrong.
Embrace.
They were just trying to bring peace to the galaxy, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did do that. All right, so we do have a little bit of housekeeping here before we jump into our deep dive. You guys know what my favorite thing on this show is. That's introducing new Patreon supporters. And oh boy, we got one here this week because someone signed up with legendary status. So we want to give a very special thank you to Skippy.
Skippy! Thank you, Skippy.
Thank you.
Skippy has picked their legendary game already, too, which I am actually pretty pumped for. So I maybe we won't spoil it just yet, but it is a game that we did cover on a Twig episode and is a game that I have a lot of interest in.
And it's a brand new release, which
is
fun.
A brand new release. So that will be fun.
Yeah, Skippy was on top of it.
Absolutely. And we do also want to give a thank you to current legendary supporters Red Letter and Kitaclysm, along with epic supporters Ace of Shame, Casmon, Michael the Butler, Yoda, Papa Thunderfist, Remelia, and Master Wayne 01. Yeah. Obviously, we can only do this show because of you guys, so thank you very much for your support. And then, Josh, I believe you have a review someone left the show that you want to read.
I love reviews so much. And anytime you leave us a review, I love you too. And this review comes in from the legendary Marble Madness. And it is titled, Definitely Not Overrated, 5 stars. And it says, hands down, this is the best video game podcast out there. I've heard other gaming podcasts where everything they say is F this and F that. And it just sounds trashy. Paul and Josh, and now Ryan, are able to speak passionately and informatively about gaming while keeping it family-friendly. They always do an amazing job of breaking down the latest games and gaming news, but they also answer the tough questions like, are the Beatles overrated? Are waffles or pancakes the better breakfast food? Is Katana one word or two? Is Pokemon a video game? What are you waiting for? Start listening to this podcast now. Now it's time to find out if Josh is like Ron Burgundy in front of a teleprompter. Elite Dangerous and Forspoken are phenomenal games. Waffles are better than pancakes. Stardew Valley is better than Outer Wilds. My name is Josh, and I approve this message. Stay classy, fellow gamers. Now, Marble Madness's real name is actually Josh. So that, just to clarify, that wasn't like me leaving a review or anything either. So.
Oh, I love it. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Oh, thank you so much, Marble Madness. Obviously, thank you for being a legendary supporter. Thank you for leaving a review. We love when you guys leave reviews. It helps other people find the show. It's a huge help. So if you haven't left one already, please do so. Or if you're using Spotify, make sure to click on 5 stars and make sure to hit that follow button. That way you guys don't miss any episodes that we release. All right. Well, I think we're done by way of housekeeping. Let's optimize our game files for a full 60 seconds and deep dive Star Wars Jedi Survivor. All right, guys, here's a description of the game from Wikipedia, because the one on Steam is pretty bad. A sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2019, the game takes place 5 years after the ending of the first and continues the adventure of young Jedi Knight Cal Kestis as he and his friends continue in their struggle to survive the tyranny of the Galactic Empire. All right, and we always give a little bit of a spoiler warning here at the beginning of the show. We are not going to dive into major story spoilers. We're not going to talk about any twists or turns that there may or may not be in the story of this game. However, we are going to talk about the skills and the abilities that you unlock, because in order for us to talk about combat and the mechanics of the game, we are going to have to get into some of those things. But for the most part, this is going to be free of any major spoilers. All right, so as we go back to the first game, Fallen Order, which, by the way, sold over 10 million copies. I mean, enormous, enormous hit. I know I bought the game about a year, year and a half after its release. I know Josh had really loved it. I played it for a couple hours, but just never finished it. We had so many games to play for the pod, it just kind of got brushed to the side. I believe both of you were huge fans of Fallen Order. Can you guys just tell us a little bit about why you found the first game to be so special?
Oh, man, I absolutely loved the first one. I love origin stories. I'm an origin story guy. The original, or the Batman, you know, where he becomes Batman. You know,
every Batman movie.
You ever dance with the devil by the pale moonlight?
And then in Superman with beautiful Henry Cavill, who is a mega gamer, by the way.
Yeah.
Future
guest of the show.
Yeah. We're waiting for you, buddy. I just love the origin story. So I love how seeing Cal's kind of beginnings, where he started, how he was hiding from the Empire, what he was doing to keep hidden, and then how he progressed, and you get to go back and see him as a, you know, young Padawan and learning the ways of the Force, and then all the I love the worlds, the areas you could explore. And then, you know, you learn the new abilities, the upgrades, you get to go back and then get unlock different areas that you weren't able to access before. It was just one of those games that really hit a lot of my trigger points for what I find desirable in a game. And it was one that, again, I know I say this a lot, but I put a lot of hours in.
What about you, Josh?
I mean, I've been the one that's been hyping up Jedi Fallen Order for a long time. I've recommended it to people. For me, that game caught me off guard because I had heard of it. I didn't play it at release. I went, man, here's a Star Wars game I should probably look into. And it just really landed for me. I loved the graphics. I loved the combat. It felt like I was actually fighting with a lightsaber. I liked that it was kind of Dark Souls-ish in that regard. I liked the exploration aspect of, hey, man, what's back behind this corner? And then, oh, yeah, there is a chest back there. That's great. So you were rewarded for exploring. I liked the progression through the game. You really felt like you were this untrained Jedi that is like learning the Force and getting stronger. And so like by the end of the game, you really feel like you're just, man, I'm tough and I'm bad. Better not mess with me. You know, I have talked about the ending to that game. I won't spoil it here just in case, but it's got one of the coolest video game moments in a video game ever. So Jedi Fallen Order just landed with me in so many different ways. And so when Jedi Survivor was announced, I got really excited. And then the game release is finally here after some delays. And I was so amped to just dive into Jedi Survivor.
And don't forget, that's where we first met Marin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, this sounds terrible, but I forgot who Marin was. I actually it had been a long time since I played Fallen Order, but then there's Marin in the sequel, in Survivor, and I went, wait, who is this lady? And I had to Google Marin Jedi Fallen Order, and then the second they showed a picture of her, I was like, oh, okay. And then a lot of the story kind of came flooding back to me at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marin is going to feature a lot in this episode.
Yeah, this game is definitely a direct sequel. So, that was one of the things that for me was kind of disorienting and tough to catch up on, because I only played the opening couple hours of Fallen Order. And in Jedi Survivor, they do give you a little video you can watch to catch you up on the story. And let me just tell you right now, if you have not played the first game, that video will not do you any good, because I still had no idea who anyone was. Throughout the entirety of this game, they're always making reference to things that happened in the past. I think you're setting yourself up for a lot more success if you play Fallen Order first and then come play Jedi Survivor. All right, so I know how much you guys love Fallen Order. I know for all of us, this is like near the top of the most anticipated titles of the year. I know we featured it when we did a preview of all of 2023 and what we were most looking forward to. But for anyone who's maybe never played either of these games, we've already thrown out, some details about it. But Ryan, how would you describe the Star Wars Jedi games to someone who has not played them?
I guess the way to describe it is it's a semi-open world. You start out, you get to kind of progress through the different levels. You get to go to through the different worlds, and you get to go through. And it has you semi on a guided path, but you can explore. You're able to, as you progress, come back to the world. You're able to get to different areas that you weren't able to get to before, and find new chests, find new cosmetics, new abilities, new stem packs, things to help you with actual combat or just for, cosmetics and the way you look. I loved it. I thought that that anyone who appreciates that type of game would like this one. It does just enough to keep it fresh throughout these different worlds when you unlock these other things. But it still has what you love in the game that continues through each one of the worlds.
Yeah, I would definitely say you could put it under the action adventure genre. Even though it does have Souls type mechanics, it's not a punishing difficulty level with these games. It's Souls like in the fact that there are areas that you complete and then you unlock a shortcut. And anytime you save, it respawns all the enemies around you. So in a way, it is a little bit Souls light, but it is set in that, semi-open Star Wars world, which is obviously a ton of fun. Josh, talking about the story of Star Wars Jedi, this timeline takes place in between the original OG trilogy and the prequels, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Order 66 has been executed by Emperor Palpatine. They are hunting down the Jedi. Fallen Order starts with, you are in hiding as Cal Kestis, and you nobody knows you have the Force. That game starts off right away with you having to use the Force to save a friend. So it kind of kicks off the whole events of Fallen Order. But yeah, that's smack where we're at with Star Wars lore. The Empire is as strong as they've ever been. All the Jedi have been eliminated or are in hiding. The Rebellion is just really a thought at this point. For all you Star Wars nerds, there are some of these pockets with Saul Guerrero and things like that. He's actually mentioned in Jedi Survivor as well. But that is the timeline. It's a bleak galaxy.
not a good time for the Jedi.
Yeah, it's not. And you kind of play from that aspect of you do a lot of fighting of the Empire, but you're fighting stormtroopers and not the really strong people in that. In Fallen Order, you do fight some of the second sister, the sisters, which are like the female Sith, and stuff like that. But yeah, that's basically it. Jedi Survivor takes place 5 years after Fallen Order. So really, The Empire is even stronger now. And, there's no such thing as the Rebellion at that point, really.
Yeah, the Empire is stronger. Cal is stronger.
Right.
And he's kind of got his little, rag team running together, doing what they can do to fight against the Empire. And the story just kind of goes from there. We don't want to divulge, too many details there. That's pretty much all you need to know. Now, let's go into some of the combat here. And I think one of the things that is really neat about both Fallen Order and Survivor, and Survivor does it even more, is the fact that you do go into different stances, which will directly impact what kind of combat you have in the game. every stance that you can choose between have different meters, and it changes the amount of power, speed, range, or defense that you have. Now, back in Fallen Order, you only had a total of 3 stances that you could choose between. You could do a single lightsaber, you could do a double-bladed saber, kind of think like Darth Maul's two-sided lightsaber, or you could do dual sabers. All 3 of those stances do return for Survivor, but they do also add 2 new stances, so there's now 5. They added a crossguard stance, think Kylo Ren's cross-shaped saber, and they also added a blaster stance, where you can shoot a blaster, which consumes ammo, and then you recharge your ammo by landing hits with your lightsaber as melee. Don't think too hard about the science behind that last one. I was a little curious to know what you guys thought about this stance system, because I actually think it's really neat and adds a really interesting wrinkle to the combat. And that's kind of like overall, it's going to drive what your combat is going to be like.
Yeah, I like Souls combat. For me, giving me, you know, the more control over the character, my attacks, the fact that you need to either dodge or parry and you can't just button mash nonstop, I like that. I think it adds a layer of like strategy, timing, that kind of stuff that I really enjoy. So for them to add these stances to the game and lightsabers, right? Like, that was kind of the neat thing, is like, hey, you get a blaster in Jedi Survivor, or you get a crossguard a la
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. Thank you. I was going to call him Darth something. I was like, wait a minute, that's not his name.
Darth Kylo.
Yeah, Darth Kylo. Oh, man. Sorry, fellow Star Wars nerds. But
you're going to hear about that one.
Yeah, I know, right? So I thought that was really neat. I'm like, oh, we're going to get a wider variety of lightsabers that we can use. How's the blaster going to work in this game? I really did like the flavor that it added to the game in that regard. I found that I would go down one branch, because there are skill trees associated with the lightsabers. I would go down one branch and then I would be like, I want to try this one. And then I would just switch and force myself to use another stance for a while. And I tried that for all of them, with the exception of the blaster, which I found to be personally very disappointing.
It's so uncivilized.
What was your beef with the blaster build?
It just didn't feel satisfying to me, man. Like, I'm a Jedi. I don't want to pew things.
You want to be Luke, not Han Solo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. What about you, Ryan? Do you feel like the stances make some interesting combat in these?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I'm probably the same way with the blaster. It's, like I said, so uncivilized.
So uncivilized.
Yes.
I would have it on there sometimes, just for boss fights you can go and pop them, get their shield down a little bit or whatever. But I was a Darth Maul double saber guy for sure most of the game. But the cool thing was you're able to reset the talent tree, and it was free the first time, then I think it cost you a skill point or whatever after that, but you were able to reset it, go through, change what you wanted, and try all those variations and see what fit your playstyle. I appreciate the Souls style, just roll and parry and do that stuff, but I'm an impatient gamer, so I tend to just I want to get through this guy and I just want to kick his butt. So I tended to just go with the double one, but it is cool to have those options and those variants that you could gear towards what you like to do within the game, which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, I also really love the fact that they added dismemberment in this game.
That was such a good addition, man.
There's a spot. There was this one point where I made sure to make a note on Jedha. You go and you slice both arms and you throw the saber and then bring it back to you, and it cuts off the legs of the droid. And I just thought it was, I love when games make you just go, oh, like that. And that's what I did it a bunch of times through this game, because there's so many cool points. But that was one, the dismemberment, on droids or on, stormtroopers that really hit with me.
It's kind of goofy that they didn't have it in the first game, because I did read that they wanted it to be a little more family friendly. They wanted the game rate to be rated teen, so they just cut out all dismemberment. Meanwhile, in the Star Wars movies, people do lose their limbs from lightsabers. Luke gets his hand chopped off, and probably the most famous scene in the OG trilogy. So it is funny that they finally added it here in Survivor. but it does add a little bit of that visceral content, which is how a lightsaber would respond in real life. And I felt like that added definitely an extra dimension. It definitely made the combat more fun to watch. I don't know about you guys, but I think that this game really nailed the lightsaber combat. I think the melee side of things in this game is just about perfect. The blocking meters that you have to work through, if you time a block perfectly, it's a parry and you get that opening to attack the enemy. I totally agree with what you said, Ryan, where I'm a little too impatient for Souls where you're rolling all the time. This, I think, finds that right spot in the pendulum where you can't be reckless, but you can still be aggressive and have a lot of fun at the same time, as long as you don't go with the cross guard saber, which is wildly slow.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, right? Is it's like, I like the fact that if you want speed, go with either the dual wielding or the double saber like Darth Maul has. Then you can just wade into things, which is great. But on the flip side, you can go single saber, which is very, very balanced, or the cross guard, which is super slow, but hits kind of like a truck at the same time and has a lot of defense to it. And so it's like you can really adjust the combat style that you want to play in this game, which I think is a really good choice by them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more Multiplayer Gaming Podcast.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Okay, we are back. So continuing our conversation here about the combat in Jedi Survivor, obviously, since you are a Jedi, the Force is going to play a central role in how you fight enemies. You can do things like push enemies off ledges. You can confuse the mind of an enemy or a beast, make them fight on your side. You can even slow down time with an area of effect around you and kind of go ham for a few seconds. There's also attacks that you can do that are not just swinging your lightsaber, but it's like a special attack, and that'll also drain some force out of your meter. I don't know about you guys. I felt like the lightsaber abilities were a lot of fun. I felt like the force only abilities were maybe just lacking slightly. Although I will say anytime I saw an enemy near a ledge, I got very excited because the very first thing I'm going to do is pull that trigger and send that stormtrooper blasting off a ledge.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. This is funny to me too, because like, you know, you are a trained, powerful Jedi in this game. And I found that I was just wading in with my lightsaber 95% of the time and rarely using the force in combat. Now, you do have force moves, so you can do a big, you know, overhead smash or a lunge or something like that that does consume some of your force meters, like a special move. It's not like an ultimate or anything. It's just a, you know, they call it like a force move. And it's like, okay, well, it drains a small bit. But then you have your actual force abilities, like the time slow or the Jedi mind tricks or the push or the pull or any of that stuff. And it's odd to me because I found I didn't really use those in combat very much.
I almost never use them. I want a little, they do give you the opportunity to pick up certain items and throw them at people. But I want to see that a little bit more. I want it to be like, and I know it's probably the worst Star Wars movie, but Attack of the Clones. When you get to the end, when you have Yoda fighting Dooku, they're like grabbing rocks and hurling them at each other and pulling things down off the ceiling. You don't really get to do any of that here. I'm like you, Josh. 98% of my combat was solely using my lightsaber. I was very rarely using push or pull or even mind control. If there was like a big fight, they clearly want you to use it. There's like one beast and eight stormtroopers. Of course, I'm gonna, you know, confuse the beast and start picking them off one by one. But I do wish that there was maybe just a little bit more force use. I wonder if they were afraid of giving you too much too soon. Maybe we'll see that in the next entry. That's one thing I'm hoping for.
What about you, Ryan? Were you using the Force a lot? Like, maybe I just don't know why I didn't use it very much.
I didn't. I used the double-bladed saber. So there was one move where you kind of do this whirlwind, you know, you jump forward and spin. I used that quite a bit just because it was so easy to use. And it worked well with just button mashing the saber. But other than that, no, I really didn't use much unless, of course, I saw a bunch of stormtroopers by Cliff.
Yeah, that is satisfying as anything, man.
I would go out of my way to draw as many as I could to the edge of the cliff, jump, and then get behind them, and then push as many as I could at once off and see how many I could get to just fly off. That, and then quite a bit, I would love to, if I came into an interaction with a bunch of guys, I love to do the force pull and just saber right through the chest.
Yeah.
Those two were like, that was basically the extent of my force use in the game. But yeah. I had a lot of fun doing it. But yeah, other than that, it was the same as you guys, just coming in with the saber and just going to town.
I mean, lightsabers are just so cool. It's really hard to make anything compete with a lightsaber, because if I can reflect blaster shots back at stormtroopers and kill them and then do the mega charge, I always use the single lightsaber. When I look at the 4 meters and they're all right in the middle, I'm like, all right, that's going to work for the whole game. I'm a creature of habit. When I already was used to the moves for single blade, I did dabble in the others just for the fun of it, but I always found myself coming back to single lightsaber.
Paul, good on you for being a traditionalist, because I went single saber for a good 85% of the game.
Yeah.
It was just so more good. Accurate. It was so good. Well, I mean, not only that, but because it was so balanced, it was great in so many aspects. Like, the dual sabers, super fast and quick, but they hit like spaghetti noodles. Now, here's one thing, and I'm not trying to slam this too much, but I do have to kind of point out that it's like, how is a cross guard bigger lightsaber more deadly than two little lightsabers? Because the cross guard hits really, really hard, and the little lightsabers hit like spaghetti noodles. But it's a freaking lightsaber, man. Like, how is that? Like,
it should cut through
anything.
Maybe
I don't understand how, like, lightsaber technology works. But, like, I did chuckle at one point going, like, what's the thinking behind this?
The thinking is it's a game.
Yeah.
And you need different stances. That's really all it can do.
Yeah. It's real to me. Oh, real quick. Was I the only one that could not? Maybe it's just because I couldn't pick red. But did you guys go through all your different colors on your lightsabers like 8 times?
I did.
I'm like, I don't like this one. I'd go switch it. I don't like this one. I go.
guess who doesn't care one iota about cosmetics? See, and I never changed Cal's beard. Never changed the outfit. Never changed the saber.
You didn't get a mullet? Are you kidding?
No.
I don't care about cosmetics, but I do care about the color of my lightsaber.
Yep.
Yeah, I left mine with the default the entire game. Man. All right, so let's move on and talk about exploration in the open world, because I think this is something that I find in some ways kind of infuriating, and in other ways, I think it's the best stuff that Star Wars Jedi has to offer. There is so much you can do in the open world here. This game throws things at you like rumors, bounties, Jedi meditation chambers. There are collectibles galore. I mean, you're double jumping, wall running, using zip lines. You're using the force to pull, pillars of rock out of the ground and then jumping off of those. I mean, you could squeeze easily 100 hours out of this game if you want to go collect everything and explore every corner of the world. But at the same time, there are things that I found rather frustrating here. I don't know if we want to start with the good or the bad, but like, what do you guys want to cover first?
Start with bad, end with the good.
Start with the bad?
All right.
All right. Here's my number one gripe. This game has so many chests that you can go find and open, but what do they all have?
Squat.
Cosmetics.
Yeah, I know.
I got so excited in the beginning because I'd be like, oh, there's a chest way up there in the air. Well, how do I get to it? Okay, maybe I can wall right off that, and maybe I can get here, and oh, maybe I'm supposed to start on that ledge. And then you open it, and it's like, congratulations, you've unlocked Wanderer Pants for Cal. Yeah. And it does not change your stats. Or, you know, you unlock some part of your lightsaber, or you're going to unlock Cal's mullet, you know, or full beard, or short beard, or what, you know.
It's not worth a soul patch?
No, I was so disappointed. I stopped opening chests. I would find my way up to get to them out of curiosity, and I wouldn't even open them. I just would run past them. So you can tell the difference because there are points that will give you a skill perk, or it'll give you an extra stim pack. And of course I would get those, but there's nothing more ho-hum than finding all these treasure chests that don't have any actual treasure.
Dude, I'm with you. It was fun for the first 15 chests. Like, honestly, I was like, oh, cool. I finally, I can give Cal a beard and he can quit looking like a small child, you know, or something like that. But then after a while, I'm with you, Paul. I was just like, dude, it's more the challenge of how do I get up there to get that chest? But what was in the chest, I could care less about towards the end of the game, man. Like, couldn't honestly, because it's not like the first game where you unlock different lightsaber colors or something cool. This was literally like, here's a new pair of pants and it looks 80%. Like, I'd have to compare them. Like, how? Oh, this one has a cargo pocket. Okay. Yeah. Like, and it's, dude, it was such a wasted opportunity. And I get that they're not wanting to go down that route. But just fake it at that point. Just tell me, like, this gives me plus one dexterity, you know, or, you know, plus 12 power or something, man. Like,
something.
Even if it was worthless and you're literally lying to me at that point.
Refresh my stim packs.
Yes.
In the middle before I find the next meditation points. Anything like that would have been nice.
I agree 100%.
You know, though, Josh, if it did that and you had different plus dexterity or plus this and that, then you would complain, this doesn't really matter. This isn't the right thing.
Maybe, but it's better than cosmetics, honestly. And I know that there's somebody out there that would have hacked the game and been like, this dexterity doesn't change anything. But it would have been more rewarding to me than another jacket or another set of colors that I can use to dye BD1, you know, or my lightsaber or something like that. Like, and again, I know that Paul and I, you know, in particular don't care about cosmetics a whole lot, but having cosmetics be the only reward in a game like this was a little disappointing.
Beat a big boss, you're not getting anything cool, most of the time. I will also say I had this issue with Fallen Order as well. I absolutely hate the holographic map in these games.
Oh, everybody hates that.
I think they are atrocious. And I swear to you, this game trolls you on purpose sometimes. Because the way the stupid map works is they put like a little yellow marker for a possible path to go find an objective. The problem is that if you have a whole bunch of quests, you're going to have yellow paths all over the place. And I remember one time in particular, I was like, okay, that yellow corridor is closest to my objective, so I'm going to start there first. And I started running that way. And then Cal out loud said, oh, I better come this way later because there was a big like beast in a bird nest. And so I was like, okay, I guess that's the wrong way. And I spent about 40 minutes exploring all the other yellow corridors, all of which were wrong. It turns out you can go the way of that first path, and that was the right way to go. But I felt like the game like threw me off the scent for no reason. So I found that to be very annoying. I kind of wish you could just say, this quest is primary, and just give me a navigation marker on the ground. I know that that kind of takes away some of the exploration and working to get there, but sometimes the path to get there is not obvious because you might have to climb up a completely different part of the map. And now you're going to grab a bird and the bird is going to help you glide all the way across to the other part of the map. And it's very confusing to know where to go at times. And I found that to be very frustrating.
Yeah,
no, I agree. Yeah. I'm the same way. I like a little arrow marker. And there were so many times when I was looking through that map, and then you zoom in, zoom out, and then you're like, what level am I on? And it brings you up and down, and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, what floor? And I remember that on Fallen Order as well. You know, you're looking, and okay, so I got to go this way, and okay, there's a door. Well, I can't get through that door. And it was that map sucks. That's the best word for it.
You need a cartography degree and very good three-dimensional thinking. But I will say everything else is great about the open world. So like, you wanted me to pull out the bad stuff first. I love games that have like a lot of rock climbing and parkour type stuff.
Parkour, parkour! Parkour, parkour! I'm right behind you, Andy! Come on!
Do it!
And this game gives that to you in spades, and it's very fast. When you're climbing around ledges or swinging from like a grate hanging over the ground like monkey bars, Cal moves so fast. I absolutely love it. Moving around in the world is incredibly easy, and when you throw in double jumps and wall running, it's even more fun. I absolutely love running around in this world. They do give you mounts. I'm not sure the mounts make you run all that much faster than when you're on foot. So the mounts I could kind of take or leave, but I absolutely loved working my way to objective points. And I thought that's a huge bonus in this game.
See, I'm going to disagree with you, Paul, because my negatives in this was the amount of grates and vines and crap that you had
perfectly
to climb,
placed
dude.
Everywhere.
Oh my goodness. And listen, you know, we didn't say it, but this game definitely has Metroidvania type elements. You get abilities. You can now go back to a place you've been before and double jump over this gap, or, you know, use the force to open up a door that you couldn't open before and things like that. So that's just part of the DNA of this game. And it was like that with Fallen Order as well. And you know, you did a good bit of climbing on mountain ledges and stuff like that. Where I am going to complain about Jedi Survivor is they leaned into the climbing of fences and grates. Oh my goodness, dude. There was literally a point, I'm probably 15 hours into this game, and I just out loud was like, why? Like, another grate? Like, number one, who's putting all of these fences on the side of a mountain, man? Like, why are they there? It became like, it's a mechanic that it was cool at first, but they used it so freaking much in this game that it really started to bug me after a while, to where I was like, dude, if I have to climb one more stinking fence, and it's not just a little, it's a climb up, shimmy over for 30 seconds, climb up again, shimmy back the other direction for 30 seconds, and then you finally get
wall
to the top
jump
of this ledge
over and over.
Watch out for the electric bolt.
Now, I will say that where this game shined for me is I do agree with you with the parkour and the actual traversal, because here's the difference, right? There are so many times where I'm spending freaking 45 seconds doing nothing but climbing a fence, and that is the most boring thing in the world to me. But then there were part of the games where you were wall running and then double jumping to another wall and then running on that one and then double jumping to another wall and then having to time a grab of a vine that was hanging down to then swing to another vine
pull a cable with the force while you're midair.
Where this game shined so well was when it was those chaotic moments where I'm literally on the edge of my seat going, don't miss this jump. Don't miss this pull of this vine or you're going to fall and you're going to die. And it was this like amazing, fast paced parkour, like stringing all of your Jedi skills together. And that was great. But then it was just like, oh, and now climb this fence for 40 seconds after all that. And I was just like, oh, guys, like, come on, man.
Yeah, those areas where you were able to chain all of that together. And like you said, chaotic, you just keep going through. Double jump, jumbled up. And I want to say, the force dash is so freaking sweet. Yeah. I wish I could just force dash everywhere in my life forever. Yeah. That I would just jump and force dash when I'm, instead of running, that's all I would do. I would just force dash because I was like, this is so cool, man. You know, I do the vines and the wall grates and all that stuff everywhere. Kind of definitely got just boring. You're just like, oh, here we go. I gotta climb up at this again. But when they would have those little tweaks to make it just a little bit different, where you had to jump off this, climb off this, climb for just a second, but then you had to get to something else, you know, and so it progressed and it wasn't just a long, you know, grate you had to climb across. It made a difference.
You might be hanging off the ground more than you're standing on the ground.
Honestly,
in this game.
It
feels
like
that way at times.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just very briefly, because I know we're going to quickly run out of time here, but I do really want to say a lot of positive things about the voice acting.
Yes.
I think the voice act work in this game is phenomenal. I have always been a huge fan of Cameron Monaghan, who plays Cal. I think he's fantastic. I think all the motion capture stuff is awesome. I think Bode also is incredible.
Yes.
His name is Noshir Dalal. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. You might know his voice as Charles from Red Dead Redemption 2. I thought he was a great addition in this game, and I love the voice work. Marin is not as fun to listen to, but
I know
it's the character, but she is like intentionally underacting the entire time, but I get it.
She reminds me of Aubrey Plaza
A little bit. I can see that.
A little bit. Just awkward and weird and smoking hot.
I will say the voice acting, all of the characters, that was all really top notch. I mean, you really felt like you were in this world, this galaxy, these characters, you're invested in them. You know, even some of the little side characters, you know, we're not going to spoil anything, but some of the other people that you come across that maybe don't play major roles, I thought were all really well done. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I thought they really did a good job with that.
All right. So we're going to get to my favorite topic about this game.
Marin?
We have to talk about some of the technical aspects of this game. All right.
Wait, Paul, didn't I say start with the bad, end with the good?
This is a bad sandwich. We're starting bad and we're going to end bad. All right. We got to talk about graphics and performance because these were some of the biggest swing and a miss that I've seen in a very long time in a game. I know we all experienced slightly different things because Ryan played on PS5, which I love when one of us play on console because it can be so different. Josh played on PC with his brand new absolute beast. What graphics card do you have? A 3080?
I have a 3080, which is probably the worst component of my PC right now.
There you go. My computer's only a couple years old, but it was very top of the line about 20 months ago, and I have a 2080 Ti. This game looked and performed so bad on my computer. I was getting crashes left and right. Kobo in particular was crashing for me every minute. I was furiously looking at the boards on Steam and on Reddit, and someone said, dude, I swear to you, it's the birds. Every time I climb up a ledge and see birds fly in the air, my computer freezes. And guess what? As soon as I read that comment, every time I saw those birds, man, my computer crashed. I had to control alt delete end task the game and restart it. And it had to compile those stupid game files for another 60 seconds. I had to change the priority of my processor to real time. And that kind of helped, but I have never had a game freeze this much for me on PC. The Callisto Protocol was constantly stuttering so bad you could not play it. This game looked awful. Even when I would run it on Epic settings, it looked horrific. And when I put it on low settings, the game looked exactly the same. I swear to you, it did not change anything. And that's even when I would fully restart the game. I was often seeing my frame rate drop down into the high 20s, low 30s, and it got to a point where I stopped playing. This is one of the very few games that I did not beat. I try to beat every game that we play. You guys see that all the time, unless the game's too big. This one, I just stopped. I was so tired of having to restart this game that I got about 2/3 of the way through it and then threw in the towel. I couldn't handle it anymore.
I don't blame you. This notoriously, the PC port on this game has massive performance issues. And I'll be honest, they're not fixed. I think they've released 3 patches so far. To try to fix the performance issues, and they've only gained a little bit of ground on this. This was unfortunately the most well-known issue with this game, especially with the reviews that came out, people playing it, that kind of thing. I have to apologize to Paul because Paul kept saying, this game looks like garbage. And I went, my game looks fine. And yeah. Paul just kept going like, Josh, I know you're old and you're half blind by now, but how can you say this game looks good? And
I'm how just hard going, are you squinting
like,
over there?
I was going like, Paul, like, what are you talking? So we legitimately started sharing screenshots with each other, and Paul's game looked like garbage. And then,
looks bad.
Like any good friend would do, he went, Josh, look at the character models, though, because I'm just distracted by this gorgeous scenery. I'm playing in 4K epic settings. You know, I'm getting about 45 frames per second with a beast of a PC. And I mean, I am playing at 4K, so it's like, okay, well, I get that, but there's no reason for the performance on this game. But then Paul points out and he goes, yep, look at the character model. And then
look at Cal's hair.
Yeah. And then I looked at it and then I could not unsee that it was like half the polygon, like texture resolution.
So
and
fuzzy.
Then I was like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right, Paul. Dang it.
And then the whole rest of the game, I'm just looking, and I'm like, Cal's hands look terrible. I couldn't see his fingers, man. And then I
it's because you can customize his hair. It's not going to look as good.
It's true.
It's like crazy.
I don't know what the term for, you know, a mask, I think is what they call it, where it's like they have to have the placeholder there. But, you know, that said, there are a ton of issues with the technical performance of this game on PC, and they haven't fixed it yet. Now, I'm lucky in that I was able to play through the game. I definitely wasn't getting the performance that I should have been getting. I did crash a couple times. There definitely is some stuttering. The game does, every single time you load the game, like, or you start the game, I should say, it does compile shaders for a good 60 seconds every time, not once, like a lot of games do.
Just like Warzone.
Yeah, so there's definitely that. Ryan, for PS5, how did it run? You did share a screenshot of a crash with us at one point. But
yeah, I mean, to get mine going, I had to do the painstaking process of turning on my PlayStation. So it was so horrible. No, but it definitely, I for sure know what you guys are talking about the you know, the looks and the, you know, good thing they got all those cosmetics, right, Paul?
Yeah. Thank goodness.
It was, I had the one crash, and then I found out that sometimes it doesn't like if you jump on the turbo lift when it's going down in force dash.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
And so then I was like, I tried it again and it did it again. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Don't do that anymore. Other than that, it ran pretty dang well for me. I didn't have too many issues. I did near the end fight a certain somebody who was supposed to have a lightsaber, and there was no lightsaber, but I could hear all the noise, you know, all the crashing of the lightsabers.
So he's LARPing.
He's just like zoom, 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 and there's nothing there. And I'm like, okay, well, here we go.
That's funny.
I ended up dying, but and then when it came back, then he had one the next go around. But it was not. The same experience that you guys had.
Dude, I just remember telling you guys, because you were both a little ahead of me in this game, and I said, guys, good news, I'm taking off of Kobo. I don't think I'm going to have any more issues because there's no birds. No. And Josh just put, I don't have the heart to tell you. And I said, are you telling me I'm going to come back to Kobo? And it's literally like 14 minutes later, you do the next mission, they're like, go back to Kobo and go figure this out. And you keep coming back to Kobo, and that's where I had the most issues.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take our last break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to close out the show with our regular segments. All right, guys. One last quick question before we move on to our regular segments. Overall, did this game work for you? Did you like the story, the combat? Is it worth the $70 price tag? What would you guys say?
For me, I mean, as a Star Wars fan and how much I loved the first one, the way I always look at it is how many hours of gameplay am I going to get out of this? You go to a movie now, it's $20, and that's an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, of the day, plus $50 for popcorn. So for $70 to get the amount of hours you'll get at this, especially if you go back and you do all those chests and you do explore these lands and these areas and go back and get into it a little more depth, hopefully once they kind of patch things up and fix it a little bit. I feel that for this release, I think it's worth it, you know, for me.
What about you, Josh?
I was super hyped for this game. This is one that I was really, really looking forward to. I will say that I do think it's worth it. I'll give some of my thoughts on things that I didn't like about the game here in just a little bit, because I definitely have some things I want to talk about there. But I will say that overall, I had 36 hours in this game. I did some of the side missions. I definitely went and collected the chests and things like that when I saw them. And I mean, that's $2 an hour, you know, at that point. So the value is definitely there. This is a very enjoyable game, especially like you said, Ryan, if you love Star Wars, you were in the Star Wars universe at this point, you know, so there's that added benefit as well. So I will say that, yes, I do think it's worth the $70.
It was worth the $70 just for one point where I got to throw a stormtrooper up into a TIE fighter.
Yes.
And it was another one of those moments where I was like, you know, that's what gets me going for sure.
Yeah. My biggest issue is simply the technical issues on PC. I think if you can pick this one up for PS5, then it's probably worth it, because this game has a lot of great stuff to offer. But this is the first game I've played in a very long time, other than Callisto Protocol, where I just said, I simply can't play this game, and I have a good gaming PC. Like, the problem is not the hardware. The problem is the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on, but the $70 games are the ones that are performing the worst. Yeah. It's Forspoken. It's Gotham Knights. It's this. And ironically, it's like the cheaper games that are running perfect, like Dead Island 2. So I don't know what's up with the $70 price tag, but these games seem to really struggle on PC.
It's a curse right now.
Yeah, it might be. All right. Well, guys, let's go into our favorite segment. Time for some hot takes. Ready or not, that's hot. Yes. All right, guys, who wants to go first?
Boy. I'll get this is going to preview a little bit, but this is not, don't hear what I'm not seeing either, because a lot of this is based on my hype level going into this game. But this is one of the more disappointing games that I've been hyped about that didn't live up to my expectations. And again, maybe my expectations were just too high, but. And this is a hot take for me because of how much I was looking forward to this game and how much I love Fallen Order. But for me, this is one of the more disappointing releases that I've played this year.
Dude. I don't even think it's that hot of a take. And I that's saying something.
Uh-oh.
Well, no, I'm so annoyed right now because that's what I was going to say. I shouldn't have let you go first. I have it on here.
I almost let you go first, Ryan, but then I was like, I mean, this would be his first hot take, so I don't want to put him on the spot.
I have it in my notes in all caps. First one was better.
Yeah. Yes.
I enjoyed myself. I had fun with this one, but I just didn't get sucked in the same way I did with that first one. This one, I just, at the end, I was like, you know, the ending, for anyone who hasn't played it yet, and also no spoilers, it's great. I loved how the game ended, but I just didn't get I didn't dive into the game like I did on the first one. It was super disappointing for me.
I'm with you 100%, Ryan. I suggested Fallen Order to as many people as I could. Jedi Survivor, yeah. I'm not going to be going around saying you have to play this game.
Yeah.
Well, right, this Paul. Might not surprise you guys, but I also put down almost exactly what you guys said. I just pasted into our Discord. The first thing I wrote down was, this is the biggest disappointment of the year, and I don't think anything else will even come close to it. Just to take things in a slightly different direction, I'm going to go ahead and say this is the worst loot system I've ever seen in a game. I have never been so disappointed in finding and opening chests. Sometimes you would get to an area and all it is a Force Echo, and I'm like, great. So now I get to sit around for 40 seconds and watch another part of this story that I don't really care about. I think the loot system is absolutely horrendous in this game, and I really hope it changes for the third, but I can't really imagine that it will.
I agree with that. That's actually a good hot take, Paul, because you're right. How do you have these chests that look like, oh man, and then you had to work to get there. So you're like, yes. And then it's crap. And then you're like, oh yeah.
No, as much time as I spend in these games, that should take 30, 40 hours. I spend 80 because I love to just explore. That's why I love, you know, Tomb Raiders and all those Uncharted. I love that exploration. And I just had no desire in this game. Same, like as Paul said, I just see the chest. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I just go off to another area. I'm like, I don't even want to go look.
In no game will you ever think that. Like, when you play Tears of the Kingdom, you're not like, oh, who cares about that chest? Like, you're going to go open it.
You know, I don't know.
God of War Ragnarok.
It 10 arrows, but...
God of War Ragnarok, you're not leaving any chest behind. You're going to check every single one. Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
And speaking of God of War, I did just want to comment on something from earlier. As far as the climbing system goes, I think God of War is one that did that so well. As opposed to this Jedi, like, you didn't get tired of climbing, at least in God of War, but like this, you know, it's just so it's monotonous just climbing these stupid grates. But
at least it's fast. If you go back and play like the old Uncharted's, Nathan Drake is kind of climbing like how a real dude would climb, where Cal Kestis is you know, he can mantle over this stuff like it's no one's business. Yeah. I still don't understand why you can't just stand on a rock and move the rock with the force and fly wherever you need to go, but I won't get into the weeds with questions like that. All right, so we've shared some of our thoughts. Josh, you've got some community reviews to read.
I do, just so people get a broad view of this game and how other people thought about it. We always pull good reviews and bad reviews to just, like I said, give more perspective on this. When it's on Steam, we always go to Steam. So this first one is not recommended, 23 and a half hours on record. And it says, I am one with the crash and the crash is with me. I am one with the crash and the crash is with me. I am one with the crash and the crash is with me. I absolutely am loving it, but the latest update has made it even more unplayable.
So when updates go in the wrong direction, now you're really struggling.
That's bad. That one was such a good, just a good Star Wars reference too. So Rogue Squadron there. So, okay, this next one is recommended, 22 and a half hours on record, and it says, I'm going to recommend it with the asterisks of if it runs on your computer and probably only on sale. It took me about 15 to 20 hours to do the story with a bit of side questing exploration for funsies. If you like Fallen Order and Star Wars and 15 to 20 hours of fun and new content hits your acceptable price to fun ratio, then buy the game at that price point.
This is one of the easiest wait and buy it on sale games that we've played in a while, in my opinion.
All right. Jeez. And then this next one is recommended, 22.8 hours on record. And it says most of the negative reviews are based on the performance after launch. At the point of writing this, it still isn't perfect. Besides that, the game is actually fun. The combat is challenging, but it's diverse. The story is moving and interesting. It's not perfect. And some character subplots are shallow. Overall, it's a solid 8.5 out of 10 if the performance is fixed.
I completely agree with every single word of that review. If this game ran flawlessly, I wouldn't think it's one of the best games of all time, but I would say it's a very, very good game. Yep. I don't know if I would say great, but very, very good, well worth playing, but the technical aspects just drag it down so hard. This game cannot stop tripping over itself.
It's like having a Ferrari or Lamborghini that doesn't run.
Just keeps breaking down.
You know,
right?
It's like, what's the point, you know?
All right. And then this last one is not recommended. And it says, all in all, yes, I had fun playing this game. The combat was fun for the most part, and exploration was all right, more or less. But the useless mounts, the underwhelming story, the dumbing down of the characters and other additions that, while cool or neat, turned out to be rather pointless, mixed with the awful excuse of a new game plus, adding zero replayability for me, I just can't tell people this game is worth $70. For $50, I'd say yes, but the content this game brings with the time you need to complete it for $70, nah.
Okay, so am I not crazy about the mounts? I'm glad someone else mentioned this.
That's actually why I pulled this review.
Is it like plus 5% run speed? Like I honestly don't know how much of a boost it is.
I literally used the mounts when you had to, and that was
to
the
jump
only
higher.
Time I
That's
did.
That's the
yeah,
only
jump,
time I used it as well.
Jump
That's
up to get is. To that other ledge, and then that was it. I never touched them again.
So I'm going to say this about the reviews. I have never had a harder time pulling reviews for a game that we have covered than I did for this one, because every single review was about performance aspects, whether it was good or bad. People that were leaving negative reviews were saying that I can't play. This game's terrible. Like, what's going on with PC gaming right now? And then the people leaving good reviews weren't extolling the virtues of the game. They were just saying, game runs fine on my computer. Like, nice. I was just like, somebody say something about the game, man. So after literally probably an hour of scrubbing reviews, I managed to find these four where at least somebody mentioned gameplay.
Oh, that's too funny.
All right. So, this is the part where we guess the overall Steam score. So you've gotten some good reviews, you've gotten some bad reviews. You kind of know our thoughts a little bit. This is where we try to guess the Steam score on the scale of 0 to 100 of where we think this game is rated on Steam overall.
And Ryan, you won last time.
I thought you did. No, I did, because I had a terrible. I wasn't ready to win that one. So, but you know, I say Ryan's let's celebrate, Ryan. You get to get first crack at this.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, so I feel like you said, with all the reviews, the technical aspects and the issues that a lot of people ran into is definitely going to drag it down in the mud a little bit. I'm going to guess just, I would say it's probably should be if it ran fine, like a high 80s. But I'm probably thinking it's going to get brought down to maybe the mid to high 70s. So I'm just going to go at a nice even 75.
I think you're definitely right that it would be high 80s if it ran well. I think, man, this is tough, because if people had the same experience as me, this game would be at a 2%. And I know not everyone had it that bad, but yeah. I'm going to go a lot lower. I'm going to say 45%.
Gosh, why did you make me go first?
45% for Paul.
I'm saying 45. I don't know if I've ever guessed that low before.
All right, well, I guess 72%. I know that there was performance issues, but then it's Star Wars and it's Jedi Fallen Order sequel and all that. And I went, man, you know, there's got to be some good here, you know, and there is for sure. So I guess 72%. Ryan, I hope you're not ready because you didn't win and neither did I. The actual is 59% overall. 59% overall rating on Steam.
Oh my gosh.
So that's telling me 41% of people played the game that I did, which was, it looked like a game from 25 years ago that couldn't run well, and you couldn't stick with it. Yeah, that was my experience. Gosh.
So, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Bring us
back
in,
on
Paul.
A winning streak.
Yeah.
Let's hit that music. Hey there, Marin. I was wondering if you had a extra heart, because mine was just stolen. Sorry, Ryan. I'm taking her from you. She's mine.
Not with that pickup line.
What was your guess, Paul?
My guess was 45.
45?
Yeah. Okay, did you do the math wrong?
Let me make sure.
45 to 59
is 14 points. I guess 72. 72 to 59 is 13 points.
13. Yeah.
Oh,
you won that one, Josh.
And I'm going to blame you for the poor math. I just took your word for it and rolled with it.
Oh, don't worry. I'm ready to win this
one,
guys. All
right, DJ, roll back the record.
Roll that tape.
All right, Josh, let's hit that music. Take us into the next segment.
I'd like to point out that none of this is my fault.
I was going to... Oh, math is hard sometimes, guys. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Hey, Marin, you want to retire to Tantalor and start a new civilization?
Nice.
So I think since you guys both got to get a pickup line, I should get one, too.
Oh,
sure.
Fair enough.
This is a socialist podcast. Go ahead, Ryan.
All right, here we go. Hey, baby, are you from Dothamir? It's getting hot in here. You must be a witch, because, baby, you put a spell on me.
Oh, I like the Dothamir hot in here, little Ryan there, Ryan.
For a second, I thought you were, like, singing a song, busting out some rap lyrics.
For Marin, I would.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, since you're the official winner, why don't you tell the people what we're doing here?
Sorry to mess with you like that, Paul. All right, this is... We're professionals, guys, really. This is where
I'm used to the intentional trolls, not the accidental ones. Man,
I was just there was something in my brain going like, wait a minute.
The five sounds closer to four.
It does. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. And then I was like, I can't let this go, because I know everybody out there is gonna be like, you guys didn't even realize. So
I almost said 50 and I should have stuck with it. Yeah. Oh well.
All right. Well, okay, so this is where we rate the game. On a scale of make love, marry, or murder, this is where we're actually going to say, hey, I think this is just an absolutely must play game. That means it's a marry. Make love means I had a lot of fun with this. It's a good video game. I would recommend it to a good bit of people. Maybe it's not for everybody. And then murder is just stay clear. This game is not worth your time or money. We saved you the trouble of having to put yourself through that. Ryan, I'm curious to hear Ryan's thoughts on this. And I don't want him to be able to follow Paul or I. So let's get Ryan's real take on Jedi Survivor here.
For me, this one is making sweet, sweet love. It's one of those. It would if I didn't have so much expectation and so much love for the first game, I would say I'd probably marry it. But with what I was looking for and what they delivered, you know, without the technical issues, I didn't have those issues other than a couple. For me, it's just going to be a make love.
Yeah,
that's all it's getting out of me.
I
think that's fair.
I'm conflicted on this, guys, because there are some strong negatives in this game to me. And I don't know if that's because I held this series in high regard. So it's almost like the more expectation you have, the more you kind of set yourself up for disappointment at the same time. And so I have to and I'll go through this super quick, but I have some very strong negatives. I already talked about the amount of climbing in this game. That was really off-putting to me, especially when it was capped with really great moments of like parkour and traversal and stuff like that. I will say I thought the combat was way too easy. I was playing on not the absolute hardest difficulty, but the one right under that, which in Fallen Order was the perfect level of difficulty. In this game, didn't matter. I was wading through everything, man. Now, that's not to say that I didn't die occasionally, but I was expecting much more of a like tactical combat challenge that Fallen Order did have that I felt like this game somehow just missed that.
Some boss fights are like 27 seconds.
Yeah.
Or even shorter in some cases. A lot of this game is not very challenging.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because my next line is the boss fights weren't that great, in my opinion.
They're not.
I hated the main boss of this game. I'm not going to spoil that, but the actual final boss fight I thought was lame. I was like, what the heck is this, man? The graphics weren't really updated since Fallen Order, so I don't really know what they did there either. And then the other thing that really bugs me is there's like three locations in this game, dude. Fallen Order had like five or six different planets that you went to that were all vastly different from each other. This game, guess where you get to go? Kobo. Seven times, Jetta. Man.
Back to Kobo.
Yeah. And so I felt like there was a lot of laziness in the development of this game. There was one major plot point that I had a very hard time stomaching. And it's a spoiler, and so I will give you a warning that you can skip ahead about a minute on this if you want to just be extra safe. So if you don't want a spoiler, do that right now.
Earmuffs.
We're not starting a fraternity.
Okay. you play in this game as Seer, who is Cal's mentor in the first game. She's been retired from the Force and as a Jedi forever, and then she fights Darth Vader? And almost kills Darth Vader? You fight Darth Vader to literally an inch of his life. Dude, I called BS the entire time that was happening, dude. That was the dumbest segment I have ever seen in a video game ever, dude. Vader is bad, dude. You do not mess with Darth Vader. And you're telling me this old retired Jedi lady that hasn't been training or practicing or anything can almost kill Darth Vader? What?
You know what she would have done? The exact same as what Obi-Wan did in A New Hope. It would be over in one swing and he would cut her in half.
Oh my goodness, dude. I've never had a game moment enrage me like that did. Okay, spoiler over because I don't want to harp on that so much. But anyway, all that to be said, I felt disappointed in this game. Literally, that's my opinion. But that being said, I probably had unfair expectations. And this is a very, very good video game. So it's one of these weird ones where personally I wasn't that happy with it, but I would recommend this game to a lot of people because I think it has a lot to offer. So I'm going to say it's a make love for me, but only because I think other people would enjoy it more than I did.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm going to murder it. I don't think I'm surprising. Paul's about to kill our
girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't think I'm shocking anyone there after all my comments. It mostly boils down to the technical issues. I think if the game ran perfectly, I'd probably fall in the make love category simply because I think the loot system is bad. The boss fights are not great. I do think that this game has a lot of good bones. Like, I think if I went back to Fallen Order, I would probably really, really enjoy my time playing that now. And Jedi Survivor just didn't do it for me, mostly for the technical reasons. There's no way I can give it a higher score based on how bad it was, because half my time was spent reloading the game. It just made for a really bad experience. I'm not even joking when I say one time my game crashed and I just said, I'm just going to play 10 minutes of Minesweeper. And I did that in the middle of what was supposed to be a Jedi Survivor play session. So that's about all you need to know.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, we have one last segment, guys. Let's go to our leaderboard and see where this game stacks up. All right. I think most of our listeners know what the leaderboard is by this point. I feel like after 3 years of explaining it, if you want to see it, go ahead and head over to multiplayerpodcast.com. You'll see a list of every game we've done a deep dive, and we have to decide as a 3-man consensus, where do we want to rank this against all the other games that we have covered? Guys, we are sitting at 95 games. This is going to be number 96. Since we've got 2 Make Loves and 1 Murder, probably not in the top half, but if we're kind of looking in the mid-range here, we've got some stuff like Broforce at 42. We've got High on Life at 52. We've got Star Wars Squadrons at 69.
Wow, it's very nice.
What are you guys thinking? Like, what kind of range? Where would we put this game?
I really don't know, because like I said,
I don't either.
I'm disappointed in this game, but yet it's a good video game. So how do I rate? Do I rate it with my heart and say, well, it disappointed me, so I want to move it down? Or do I say this list is for people that might be looking for a game to play, and I would recommend this game to most people, assuming that it runs, you know, at that point. But so this is really hard for me. I am going to say that I think it probably belongs in like the late 40s-ish area for me, because I look at Steel Rising, right? Similar combat structure, not nearly as cool of a world, but I think I actually had more fun playing Steel Rising, oddly enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think I'd rank Steel Rising higher than that, but then there's some good games I could see like early 50s. As well. So I think I'm in that range somewhere of like late 40s, maybe late 50s ish, somewhere in that like that zone.
That's kind of where I know this is my first one, you know, as far as the rankings go. And that's what I had put down in my notes is 40s and 50s, looking over the list with you guys. But it's one of those, if it was released that when it, where it worked, it might have helped. But it was also, it was a good game. It was fun, but you know, we had such high expectations, especially after the first one, that it kind of jades you towards where you want to put it. But I think that's definitely fair, probably upper 40s.
Yeah, I think if I were to rank it on my own, I would have it pretty close to 60, which is where we have Atomic Heart. Atomic Heart was definitely a letdown, but that game ran really well on my computer. So I think Jedi Survivor has better bones than Atomic Heart, but it just ran so poorly. I kind of have like a similar experience. So if we're going to kind of meet somewhere in the middle, I think we're probably going to land somewhere in the, what, like 50 to 53 range, or maybe just a little bit higher.
I could see that. Honestly, that's probably a good spot.
49, 50, 51.
I was going to say, I would definitely, I mean, 1,000 times I would say play Jedi Survivor over like Tribes of Midgard. So I could make the case of putting it at like 49.
Do 49 for Paul's pick. That's what his number was, right?
It was, wasn't 50. It? No, 59.
Dude. Oh, 50. 59. Okay.
I think 49 for me, but I won't fuss at all if Paul's like, I'd rather have it at like 52 or 53. It's like, okay, sure.
I'm fine as long as it's underneath Rimworld. So I'm fine with 49 if Ryan's cool with that too.
Yeah, no, that number works for me.
Lock it in.
Unfortunately, it makes me sad, but yes.
And this is... Go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, in the future, if we re-rank the leaderboard and this game's been fixed, we are not opposed to moving these games around. The cycle famously started out really high in our leaderboard, and every update we kept dropping it because the game got worse and worse and worse. And we've No Man's Sky, we've bumped it up. So it's like, we're not opposed to updating these things. Since this one's mostly technical, I would not be shocked if this game moves up 10, 15 slots in the future. But I think right now having it around 49 is fair.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Lock it in.
All right, we'll lock it in. Number 49, Jedi Survivor. That means it is coming underneath Steel Rising, V Rising, Lost Ark, Among Us, and Rimworld. It will be above Tribes of Midgard, Far Cry 5, Raft, High on Life, and Killing Floor 2. I think that's a pretty fair place.
It is a fair spot for it.
And some people are going to be going bananas because they're going to think this game's way better. And that's probably just because it ran really well on their system.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our show here for today. We do want to say thank you to everyone for listening. Our next deep dive is going to be The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which will be our very first Nintendo exclusive deep dive. I think people are really going to enjoy listening to our thoughts on that. That one should release in 2 weeks' time, although it kind of depends on when we all finish these games and when we're ready to record. But tentatively, we're thinking 2 weeks from now. As a reminder, please check out our Patreon page over at multiplayersquad.com so you can unlock bonus episodes and help fund what we do here and keep our lights on. We do release new episodes every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. Make sure to hit the follow button so you don't miss any episodes. And I think that wraps everything up. Any closing words or thoughts, boys? Or are we ready to shut this one down?
I just want to say real quick, because I'm still getting used to this whole podcast thing, but I just wanted to thank you guys for the opportunity to do this. I really appreciate it. It's been such a blast so far, and I'm looking forward to what we can do with it. And then also to all the fans out there, you guys are awesome. I was getting personal tags in our Discord. If you're listening and you're not on the Discord, get on there. It's an awesome community. Bunch of really, really great people in there that are all just chat games and everything else. So get on that if you're not. But it's been great. And thank you everyone for the compliments, and I'm super excited.
Yeah. I was gonna joke and say those were all of me and Josh's alt accounts that were tagging Ryan, being like, good job, buddy.
I was on vacation when we recorded that one episode. My friend we had another couple that we went to the beach house together with, and he was convinced that I was personally making those comments. He's like, no way, those are somebody. You're just making those and commenting about yourself. He wouldn't stop saying that.
That's awesome. Well, we are so excited to have you. Yes, it is. Yeah. You've been phenomenal, and I know the response has been really good. And like I said, we're super excited to have you moving forward and see where we can go with this thing. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Ryan. Thanks to everyone for listening. And until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right. See everybody.